So to me, as I said earlier, the decisions at redevelopment aren't ever made in a vacuum, and it almost always, like Anthony said, starts with public outreach. And it's significant public outreach. It's a series of public meetings inviting stakeholder groups to provide input on whatever topic it is that redevelopment staff happen to be working on at the time. And a prime example of how that is important. Many years ago, we were looking at in the East Side area, and they have a park. And that park was aging and needed some help. But staff thought that it might be more appropriate to maybe fix that up a little bit and then do some pocket parks throughout the rest of the Pittman area because it was underserved. So when we reached out and had a series of meetings with the residents there, we found out that they didn't really want the pocket parks. They wanted some greater improvements to their existing park. So we did a series of meetings where they were able to tell us exactly the kinds of amenities they wanted to have, what they wanted to see there, the kinds of activities they wanted to have, and those changes were made. So the park they have today is the park the residents there designed. That's a powerful voice. You don't get that in many other areas of the city. It usually, something just happens and it just turns up one day in your neighborhood. But from a council perspective, it is always more powerful to have many people speaking about one topic as a whole than to have, people here and there come to you with an idea. All of that input is important, but when there's a large group coming with one voice saying, "This is what we need," it's very powerful, and it helps to make decisions that are better for the community rather than just for the individual.
That voice that they have, is vital to our success. I agree that, we need that input, we need that feedback, and we need them involved to in this process, because inevitably it's their, it's their business and their community that they're developing that is going to make them successful in the end. So bear with me, Michelle. I'm going to pick on you for a
All
second,
right.
if you're okay with that.
Pick away.
So you actually live in a redevelopment area.
I do.
So my question is what have you seen over the years living in a redevelopment area, and why have you stayed, if I may ask?
Sure. I'll answer it kind of backwards. I've stayed because I love the neighborhood that I live in. I've lived in that same neighborhood, in that same house, actually, for more than 25 years, but I've been in that specific neighborhood almost my entire life. And so I know the people around there. It's an area where the neighbors actually know and like and interact with each other, which sometimes you don't get in the newer neighborhoods. It is older and it has lots of issues, but the pros far outweigh the cons, in my opinion. Just because of the people who live there. As far as the changes that I've seen, there have been many. There has been everything from new schools added to serve the population there, to street improvements to help beautify the neighborhoods, to redevelopment grants for improvements to homes, which have been significant. You can drive around the neighborhoods throughout near where I live, and you can pretty much pick out which houses have taken advantage of the grant opportunities. And they're really starting, a lot of people are starting to flip houses in those older neighborhoods, and it's making a huge difference. For a while, especially the housing stock was really starting to age, and it wasn't getting the investment it needed for quite a while. And when these grants came out, it started out very slow. People, didn't believe it was too good to be true. And once, people started taking advantage of it, word got out, and I think more and more have taken advantage of it. And you can see the differences in the neighborhoods. But a lot of times, older neighborhoods also have social blight, and that's something that the area in which I live has had a lot of. It has had it, some of the poorest neighborhoods we have are immediately adjacent to where I live. And they've also had a lot of crime and things like that. So I've been able to work with the police department in that area to do initiatives to halt the crime. And they have been extraordinarily successful. I can't say enough about our police department and the efforts that they have made. So it's not just redevelopment, it's redevelopment and it's community development and it's our social partners and it's our police department all working together to say this area needs help and here's what it needs and let's work together to make sure it happens. So we have code enforcement that goes out and helps identify areas, and it's not just, you know, the stick with, you know, beating on a homeowner. It's also, you know, we've noticed you have some issues with code violations. Here's some grant opportunities that will help you fix those problems. Mm-hmm. It's working together, and it's a slow process. If you're not patient, you don't live in a redevelopment area because, you know, it takes a while, but it happens and it slowly transitions over time. You see the same thing in downtown. I live in Eastside, but mm-hmm. but in downtown the same thing's happening. So I think it's a slow growth situation, but if you live there long enough, you're able to see huge transitions over time.
And I think Bobby, I mentioned earlier about the kind of the three pillars of redevelopment, and probably social sometimes one of the ones that is at least in my mind is maybe some of the most difficult to see.
Yes.
I mean, physical, you know, physical is one thing, economic, you know, those are definitely,
right.
You can see that. But sometimes social is something that's not always easily defined.
It's true.
And what, you know, what is it that is socially challenging in our, you know, communities? And so I like that, the idea that, you know, things that you're doing and helping to promote, you know, your neighborhood and where you live and focus on that and what has kept you there for over 25 years. That's one thing I will say, not being a native Henderson resident, but those who are a native Henderson residents, I'm always amazed that you have not ventured very far away from your roots and from where you started in the community. And as you mentioned, Anthony, you know, this is a community that is, in all intents and purposes, a fairly young community. You know, only from the 40s and 50s necessarily did it, you know, start out as a company town and then has blossomed into a city of over 300,000 people. And so, and in that time, you know, we definitely have seen a lot of history and a lot of change and growth that has not always been positive to the old Henderson area, but doesn't necessarily mean that it can't, that we can't change that and make our core, our downtown core, and our aging communities, successful communities, and places that people do want to stay for 25 years, right? You mentioned one word in your, I want to just briefly touch on real quick as we kind of wrap up here, because I think it's a word, it has been given a kind of a negative connotation to it, and that when people hear about it, you know, when you tell them, like, oh, what does that mean? Or, you know, what kind of impact does that mean to my business? Or, you know, if you say that word, what's it, you know, what are other people going to think about me? And that word is blight. You know,
I knew that story you were
going to
say.
I know. it was coming. And so, because it is, I mean, it's as a business who's moving into an area and you tell them, you know, or a property owner who owns a building, or even a homeowner who owns a house and says, like, your house is physically blighted. You know, that's not always the best thing you want to hear when you're talking with people, or, you know, or a business owner, you're like, your building looks really bad and your business is really bad, you know, blighted. It's, you know, and that's a term, and it's, like I said, it has this very negative connotation, but, you know, what is it, or how would you explain that to somebody who's saying, you know, if you're saying my thing's blighted, is that, you know, is that, how bad is that? You know, is that bad? Is it not bad? You know, I don't know. Maybe it's a little broad of a question, but I don't know. What's your thoughts on that notion?
So, you know, it's interesting. So Councilwoman Romero, she grew up in this neighborhood and stayed here her whole life, basically. I, on the other hand, grew up as far away from Henderson as you possibly can in Australia. But something that is not unique is that I grew up in an area that is very reminiscent of what our Eastside redevelopment area would look like in terms of physical, social, economic conditions. And some people call it blight, But now that I've worked in redevelopment, in the redevelopment area, and I made a conscious choice to want to work here. It's not something that I just fell into. I consciously chose to do this because of the circumstances where I grew up, and I wanted to be able to make a difference. I replaced the word in my mind, at least, blight with opportunity. So physical opportunity, economic opportunity, social opportunity, opportunity for us to make a difference, for me to make a difference, for somebody who buys a business or brings in a business, somebody that buys a house, because they're almost juxtaposed, but it changes your whole perspective on it. And so I'll have people that are friends of mine or that I encounter that say, well, why do you do this? And it's because I believe. Mm-hmm. It's because I think that the biggest part of my job that I have is advocacy, because if I don't talk about it, if I don't believe in it, if I don't tell the story, then who will, right? And I've been blessed to be in a position where I can do that and where I can have a seat at the table and be able to tell the story. It may not be my story, but it's somebody else's story. And hopefully that will make a difference. And I've seen that it has. And so for anybody that's considered or is considering coming to a redevelopment area and they think of blight and a negative connotation, I would say just take a step back and think of the difference that you can make. And instead of blight, think opportunity.
That's a really good suggestion. And blight is just, that's how it's defined in Nevada revised statutes. Mm-hmm. It's just a definition, but Anthony is 100% correct. It's opportunity. It's sure, it's an area that is mature and might be aging faster than some of our other areas, because we have some areas in the city that are literally brand new. But to me, it also means it has character and it's authentic. It's not something that was just built all at once. It grew over time and developed character and authenticity. And I think that's, again, one of the reasons why I live there. Mm-hmm. Still. I love it. And just like Anthony said, I'm a believer. I believe that this area and others like it are great and they have huge potential. They offered me the best, you know, I had the best life growing up ever. I would not because I was rich or anything like that, but because I was rich in neighbors and friends and activity and, you know, your quality of life a lot of times is what you put into it too and what your neighbors put into it. And our mature areas have that quality because of the people who are there, not necessarily what the physical situation looks like. So when we can improve that physical situation and partner it with those strong family and neighborhood ties, you can't replace that. You can't replicate it and you can't replace it. And so to me, it's super unique opportunity to just go up. There's no really going down. It's just all going to come up. And it's incredible to be a part of that and to see it happen and be able to, like Anthony said, tell that story and make it happen for other people. So my grandkids are now living in a redevelopment area and I want them to have the same opportunities I had and have the same experiences and look back and go, wow, I'm so glad I grew up in Henderson.
Those are great answers. Great responses. I don't know how I can go anywhere else or anywhere else with that after that, because those are, I think, are all-encompassing of what redevelopment is about and what it is that we can do, that we do to help these, you know, help the residents, help the businesses, and to help our community be a community of people, of individuals who come together in a common cause. To make Henderson a place that we want to be and stay for a long time. And so I really love those responses. I don't even want to go anywhere else after that, because I think to leave on that note would be a perfect segue to going out and doing the things that we do every day to make our community the community that people want to be in. And have the opportunity. And I really liked your response in terms, I love the opportunity of it's not blight, it's opportunity. We have opportunities to grow and develop, and it's on us to develop that quality of life that we want. So I think for our residents and our businesses, you know, we're here to help them, but it's also, they need to put in a little bit of effort on their side too, but to make that quality happen. And I think they're doing that. I think the businesses that we have in our areas, you know, are definitely blossoming and are willing to put in the effort to, and to take advantage of the opportunity and to, you know, produce the quality of businesses that we have in our city, in our areas. And so I really appreciate it. I'm very grateful that you guys were able to take the time to come and meet with us and just,
Thanks, Derek.
I really do want to thank Michelle and Anthony for sitting down with me to discuss how redevelopment has changed the city and the work they've done to make that change happen. We look forward to seeing what the future holds for Councilwoman Romero as she continues her run for mayor over the next year, and wish Anthony continued success in leading the redevelopment efforts for the city for many years to come. Thank you again for taking the time to listen in and learn about all things redevelopment in the city. Stay tuned for our next episode, where we'll be able to sit down and talk with another council member, mayoral candidate, Councilman Dan Stewart. Until then, please stay safe out there, and if you do have any questions or comments regarding redevelopment, please email me at derek.allen@cityofhenderson.com. Again, that's Derek, D-E-R-E-K, dot Allen, A-L-L-E-N, at cityofhenderson.com, and I will get back to you as quickly as possible. Thanks again for coming along on our journey to redevelop that. Until next time. Also, I'd like to give a special thanks to Tiffany Reardon for making all this come to life.